RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the morning show on WRCO and WRCE Radio in Richland Center. I'm Joanne Krulatz in for Phil Nee today, and I'm with Erica Davidson. She is the Territory Manager for Impact Life, and we're going to find out about independent blood banks around the area. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning.
And how are you today? I hear you had quite a drive.
I did have quite a drive. I drove from my home office in Maquoketa, Iowa. So I'm in Badger territory now. So go Hawkeyes. Can I say that?
I guess you can.
We'll allow it. Thank you. Just for today, right?
Just for today.
Yeah.
So can you explain, what Impact Life is?
I can. Impact Life Blood Services is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are a blood bank, an independent blood bank. We are headquartered in Davenport, Iowa. We are the exclusive provider of blood products to over 125 hospitals in Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Missouri. Right here in Richland Center, we have recently partnered with the Richland Hospital and Clinics. We are their sole provider, and we are going to be having a blood drive. They have blood drives approximately every 56 days on a rotation. On April 11th from 10 to 3, we are going to be in Pippin Hall in the lower level for our next blood drive.
So when they have the blood drives, is it the responsibility of each recipient that receives blood from you to have their own blood drive, or do other places have drives for you as well?
So in order for us to service our hospitals, which we span all the way down to St. Louis, Missouri, we rely on our communities in the areas that we serve to host blood drives. So we will have businesses, organizations like Kiwanis Clubs, Rotary Clubs. We've got partnerships with Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Boys and Girls Clubs. Any group that is wanting to give back to their community, schools, churches, they partner with us, host blood drives. It's my responsibility to work with them to plan their blood drive to make sure that we are able to collect the units that we need in order to service our hospitals.
So what is, you had mentioned while we were talking, the difference between an independent blood bank and the American Red Cross. Can you kind of say what some of the differences are?
Sure. So we are a member of America's Blood Centers, which is a coalition of independent nonprofit blood banks that come together to provide about 60% of the nation's blood supply. The American Red Cross provides about 40% of the nation's blood supply. So Impact Life is a member of America's Blood Centers, and within that organization, we have about 60 blood banks that are able to resource share. So that resource sharing group is called Blood Centers of America. And through that, we are able to import and export blood to help serve our hospitals in any region. So for example, when Impact Life, if we are finding that we are not collecting enough units, we are able to reach out to a partner blood bank in another region that is a member of Blood Centers of America, and we are able to resource share to make sure that our hospitals are taken care of. When we have surplus blood products, we are able to help other blood banks as well in other areas. We are also proud to be a member of the Blood Emergency Readiness Corps, which is about 36 independent blood banks in the United States that go on a 3-week rotation. So when we are on call, we set aside O negative, O positive type blood so that when and if, when or if an event were to happen that would cause a mass transfusion protocol. So example of that would be a mass shooting or a natural disaster or a large car accident, any type of event that would, the patients would need a large amount of blood transfused quickly. We are able to activate Burke and blood banks that are on call for that particular week will send those reserves to that blood bank that services that hospital that performed that mass transfusion protocol event. So it really is a great way to be good stewards of our blood supply and making sure that all of our hospitals are taken care of. And it's one of the main reasons why hospitals choose to partner with Impact Life, because of that resource sharing program.
How is the blood stored and dispersed?
It is. So when we have blood drives, the process is kind of interesting and I love sharing about it. So when you go to donate blood, we take your blood, we take test tubes, and those test tubes are flown to Georgia, where we do about 12 different tests. Actually, it's 13 for Wisconsin donors. Wisconsin donors have to be tested for Babesia. And those test tubes are tested. At that time, those units that are collected at a blood drive or at a hospital blood drive are then taken to our components lab in Davenport. In our southern region, we have a components lab in Earth City. So in the components lab, that unit can be separated into three different products: platelets, plasma, red blood cells, and then they're held until the testing comes back. If all the tests are good and those blood products are healthy enough to be transfused into patients, then it's released and it's then sent to our one of seven hubs that supports the hospitals in those particular areas. So the hub in this area is located in Monona, Wisconsin. And then those products are then given to the hospitals that have regular standing orders with us. Platelets have to be transfused within 5 to 7 days. So it's a very quick turnaround time. So from the donor, from the donation to testing to when it gets to the hospital, those have to be very, very quick. It is red blood cells have a 42 day shelf life. Those have to be transfused within 42 days and they will expire. Plasma can be frozen for up to a year and that has to be used within that year. So the blood is stored. Currently, we have the orders that we send to the hospital. The hospital stores their blood in their lab area, and then we have storage facilities within our components lab and our hubs.
What's the difference between the blood donation and the platelet donation?
So the most common procedure is a whole blood donation, and that is where we take whole blood. So your blood as it comes out of your body, that's whole blood. Platelets are done through an automated procedure. That's a little bit different. It can take up to 90 minutes to 2 hours for that procedure, in which we only take the platelets. Everything else is returned back to your body. Now, those that are familiar with the American Red Cross has a procedure called Power Reds. Impact Life has the same type of procedure. We call it Double Reds. And a Double Red donor is a donor that meets a certain weight restriction. They have to be at least 150 pounds to donate a double red. A double red is red blood cells only. So the red blood cells through an automated procedure are taken out and then everything is returned back to your body.
Okay. It's kind of above my head, but interesting.
It took me a while to learn how to explain all that.
I would imagine. Yeah. Now, Impact Life, you've done a couple blood drives now with the hospital, but you're kind of, this was kind of a new partnership, wasn't it?
It is a very new partnership. I want to say the latter half of last year, so 2023, we brought on the Richland Hospital and Clinics, as well as Reedsburg Area Medical Center. Those are two newest hospitals in Wisconsin that we serve. So when we are in the communities, we are asking for community support in order to service those hospitals. And that looks different, you know, depending on the community. A lot of our communities will be mostly churches, some schools. So it really just depends on that local business community to support their local hospital. So really we want to encourage businesses to reach out to us if we haven't reached out to you already and offer support by hosting a blood drive.
Do you feel you've been accepted in the area?
Yes and no. I do want to share a special shout out to Capital Wealth Advisory Group. They were one of our first groups that reached out to us to host a blood drive, and they're actually going to be hosting a blood drive on May 21st. But, you know, when we partner with a community that has been with the American Red Cross for a very long time, those relationships have been cultivated and those donors can be very loyal, but we are hoping that we will soon be embraced a little bit more with the help of the hospital and the advocacy of the rest of our partners.
Because no matter which one you give to, you're saving a life, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are. The American Red Cross is a great organization. They also provide disaster relief services. Because we are both regulated by the FDA, our blood drives look and feel very similar. So there really isn't a whole lot of difference between the process. What makes us different is that we have that relationship with the hospital.
Now, you know, you're new to the Richland Center area, but how long has Impact Life been around? You know, Red Cross, we can, decades, you know, but
decades.
Impact Life is totally new to our area.
It's very new to Richland Center, but it's not new to us. We've actually been saving lives for 50 years, so it's our 50th anniversary this year. We were founded in 1974. We were originally Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, but because we partnered with two other blood centers in the southern region of our service territory, we decided that it was time to rebrand and change our name to Impact Life, because that shares a little bit more about what we do and who we serve, and it's our mission in action. Whereas Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, number one, that's a lot to get out when you're talking to people, but that described us as a demographic, the Mississippi Valley regional area, and we're expanding much farther beyond that now. So Impact Life just makes more sense.
Well, it looks like you cover a majority of Illinois, part of Iowa, part of Missouri, and part of Wisconsin.
So we do. All of our hospitals are located within that region, 125 of them. Wisconsin is our newest area. We just opened a blood center in Madison 2 years ago, I think it's going on. And so as we grow and bring on more hospitals, we'll probably see more blood centers pop up. The great thing, too, is we have a donor bus that we are able to bring to all of our locations that aren't able to have us inside their facility. So it's a super convenient way to host a blood drive. We can just roll it on up and people can come on our donor bus. And it's basically a mini blood center on wheels.
So is that how you mentioned the hospital is having one in April and then somebody else was having one in May? Is mm-hmm. that how you do the one in May then?
We do. Capital Wealth Advisory Group, their blood drive is on a donor bus. So we will be there on May 21st from 11 to 2:30. So we just roll up by the business, and donors can come on in. They can make an appointment. Appointments are preferred, but we will take walk-ins as our schedule allows. The hospital is an inside blood drive. They have, of course, a beautiful space for us to use, but not everybody has a large conference room or area for us to set up. So a bus makes that super handy.
If someone's interested in making an appointment, how do they do that?
They can make an appointment to donate by going on our website. Our website is bloodcenter.org. They can call our 1-800 number, and that's 800-747-5401. They can always reach out to the hospital for my information as well. They can contact me directly. If anybody wants to host a blood drive, it's the same process. You can contact me directly, contact the hospital. They will reach out to me, or you can go on our website and there is a form to host a blood drive.
To host a blood drive, is there a minimum of volunteers needed to do that?
We are self-sustainable in that we appreciate volunteers. So if a group has volunteers that they're willing to lend and help us with those blood drives, that's great. Otherwise, a group that we have, typically we need one person that is that contact person that can be that volunteer blood drive coordinator. So someone that can help us schedule appointments, help us with marketing and sharing the information out. But as far as the day of the blood drive, we do everything. We do all the registration. We do all of, obviously we have our own phlebotomist. We don't want any volunteers doing that, but anybody who is willing to give their time is more than welcome to come with us. But as we know, volunteers are hard to find anymore. Everybody is very busy and doing lots of things. So volunteers are welcome.
I think every organization is looking for volunteers.
We are. Right now. It is. And there's a lot of what we are finding in some areas is that there are volunteers that volunteer for everything, and it's the same people over and over again. So we really want to encourage, especially young, even high school students, if a high school student wants to come and volunteer, we are so open to that. Our donor base is 55% of our donor base is over the age of 50. So getting those young volunteers, getting the young donors in to support the blood supply is very important.
Well, we're here today with Erica Davidson from Impact Life. She is the territory manager for Impact Life. And we'll be back in a moment to talk about the upcoming blood drives in Richland Center. Welcome back to our morning show this morning with Erica Davidson, and we are featuring Impact Life today. And Erica, we're kind of discussing that you also have some educational programs and presentations.
We do. So I mentioned our donor base, 55% of our donor base is 50. Age 50 and older. So it's a priority for us to educate the youth in our communities. We have a youth education program that we do at our donor centers, and we also take it on the road too. We recently worked with Girl Scouts at our Dubuque Donor Center, where they can come in, do a tour. Our program consists of teaching them about the importance of blood, blood components, how blood banking works, and then we share with them blood compatibility. Not every blood type is able to accept a transfusion of another blood type, so we have little experiments that we can do with them to show them that, and they make a model of a blood drop, so kind of a hands-on learning activity there, and they earn a patch. We can do that on the road as well. We can come to schools. We can come to organizations, other youth organizations that we work with as Boys and Girls Club as well in our territories, schools. We can bring blood typing to any organization, youth organization, or even adults. We can come to you and do blood typing. So blood typing is consisting of just a small little finger poke. We take 3 drops of blood, and then we are able through serums to tell you what your blood type is. Most people that donate blood know what their blood type is, but if they don't, it's kind of a fun way to learn about their blood type and the people that they can help in the process. So it's really getting young people engaged and putting that, planting that seed in their mind about the importance of blood donation and what they can do to help people in the future when they're old enough to donate.
Have you found through these educational programs over the years that it has kind of helped people when they become old enough that, hey, I want to do that?
I think so. When we reach out to them, I had a group of Brownies and Junior Girl Scouts. So about that third, fourth, fifth grade, their minds are very moldable and they're very inquisitive and they ask a lot of questions. So planting that seed early is important. When they get to high school, they are able to donate at age 16. So we re-engage with them once they hit high school. And what we see is within our territories, those donors will continue to donate. And as long as they are engaged in their communities, we plant that seed, they become blood donors as they get older. We do see a drop in our donor base after the age of between 20 and 24. So that age demographic where they're just getting out of college, they're getting their feet planted, they tend to be a little bit more busier. That donor base tends to go down a little bit. But as they start to hit colleges and enter businesses that partner with their local blood banks, those do increase. Those donors do increase. Our largest age demographic of donors is between the ages of 60 and 69, which is surprising to me.
Yeah.
Very, very dedicated group of donors.
Have you, in your territory that you have, do you see like student councils and stuff holding blood drives?
Student councils, HOSA groups, we have FFA groups, we have within the high schools, we have science classes. A lot of different groups will come together to sponsor the blood drive. And by sponsor, I mean help plan the blood drive. I'm there to guide them and help them through that process.
And that kind of gets them their foot in the door to be lifetime donors, doesn't it?
Lifetime donors and lifetime leaders in their community as well.
Right. Well, talking about the blood drives, you have several coming up. And do you want to share those with us?
I do. So Richland Hospital is having their blood drive April 11th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Pippin Hall, the lower level there. Appointments are preferred, but you are more than welcome to walk in. If we have space, we will certainly take you. You can schedule an appointment by calling our 800 number. So 800-747-5401, or you can always go to our website, bloodcenter.org. The hospital does have a group code. You can search the drive by group code. That group code is 5770. You can also search our drives by city, by zip code. Other drives coming up, Reedsburg Area Medical Center, one of our newest partners in Wisconsin as well. That drive is May 1st from 10 to 4 p.m. And then Capital Wealth Advisory Group is May 21st, 11 to 2:30 p.m. And that one is on our donor bus. So if you want to come see our bus, come visit that drive.
And to schedule an appointment with any one of those, they can just go to the website and pick which one they want.
Yeah, the quickest one would be to go to the website and do a search, and you can find the nearest blood drive to you. Or if you can't find one, maybe give me a call and start one.
So what is the donor eligibility criteria?
Yeah. Yeah. So a donor can be 16 years old to donate. 16-year-olds, we need a signed parent permission. Otherwise, 17 and older can donate as long as they are at least 110 pounds for a whole blood procedure. For a double red procedure or a power red, they have to be at least 150 pounds. They have to be healthy. So we go through a health questionnaire. We'll take them through that will let us know if you have a history of medications, past surgery history, all of the questions, about 50 of them, so that we can understand your health history, and then we can determine if then you're eligible to donate.
And then if you find you're eligible, but how long does all of this take?
From registration to recovery at the end of donation, the best part, getting the cookies after donation, takes about 45 minutes. We like to say allow yourself about 45 minutes. If you do your questions ahead of time, we call our health questionnaire early queue. Early queue, you can do the day of the drive prior to getting there. That'll shave about 10 minutes or so off of the time that you're at the drive. But the time that you're actually in the donor bed takes about 5 to 10 minutes itself.
So, you know, if you want to give, which everybody should feel that they want to save a life,
yeah,
the best place to go is the website. Pick out what city you want to donate to and yes, register.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about this morning that you'd like to share, Erica?
I do have a few statistics that I do want to share that I thought were interesting. 25% of blood products go to cancer patients. A lot of times we think of trauma patients, surgeries, you know, those sorts of things. But regular cancer patients, 25% of blood products go to treat cancer. And I'm sure every one of our listeners probably knows somebody that has had cancer in the past. So I thought that was interesting. And the last tidbit I will share too is that 3% of eligible donors give. Only 3%.
Well,
yes.
Yes, not too much of the population, is
it? It's not. So we want to encourage folks to get out and donate wherever you are, and donate regularly.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in today. And
thank you so much for having me.
You have a safe trip and your 2-hour drive back.
Thank you. It's a beautiful day for a drive.
It is. It's wonderful out there today. Thank you very much, Erica.
Thanks so much.
We're here today with Richland Center City Clerk Aaron Joyce, and it's getting down to the wire if people want to run a write-in campaign for election, because the election is actually Tuesday, next Tuesday already.
Yep, it's coming up pretty quickly. Like you said, Tuesday will be the day that everybody comes to the polls and casts their ballots for the choices that they want to make for their spring contests. You mentioned the deadline for people who are interested in being a write-in. That is this coming Friday at noon. So if you wanted to be a registered write-in, you would go to your respective clerk and say which race you wanted to be involved in, and then you'd go from there.
And what do you need to be a write-in? Do you have to take out nomination papers like you did for the ballot, or how does that work?
It's a little simpler to be a registered write-in. You would have to come in and fill out. There's just one page for us anyway. You would just come in and fill out campaign finance forms. You wouldn't have to go door to door and get signatures or anything like that to be a registered write-in. The process then is you would be counted that night as a registered write-in. You know, as all the votes are being counted, you would be counted as a registered write-in. Of course, your name would not appear on the ballot. If voters were interested in putting your name on the ballot. They would write you in, you know, for some ballots that we have. They're consolidated. You would fill in a little circle by the write-in line and then write the person's name in. Voters can ask for the write-in list from their poll workers to see if there are any registered write-ins, but they're not going to freely post that information anywhere for the voters to see. The voter has to actively ask for that.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
WRCO, 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
It's 6:30. We're at 23 degrees. News on WRCO is sponsored by Computer Connections, Why Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities. By Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you. And by BL Signs.
BL Signs of Richland Center has grown significantly, helping other businesses grow. In the last decade, businesses of all sizes have trusted the team at BL Signs, from developing ideas to get started, to creation, installation, and reliable service afterward. BL Signs' promise of projects done well, done on time, and done on budget comes with the experience and knowledge to turn your sign into one of your most important investments. Visit BL Signs of Richland Center online at blsignage.com.
It's internet for everyone from Why Connect Wireless. Why Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin with options for unlimited internet with no contract required, so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages or visit WIWC.net for details. Why Connect Wireless. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Adam Hess. Here's what you need to know. A tired driver in Grand County caused a crash resulting in injuries. On Wednesday night at approximately 11:35, the Grand County Sheriff's Office responded to a two-vehicle crash on Highway 35-133 and U.S. Highway 18. Jason Von Bruckhauser, 47, of Dixon, Illinois, was northbound on Highway 35-133, approaching the intersection with Highway 18. As he was approaching the intersection, Olivia Blum, 21, of Glen Haven, was traveling west on Highway 18. Von Bruckhauser failed to yield at the stop sign and struck Blum's vehicle. It was also determined that tiredness was a contributing factor in that crash. Blum was trapped by the damage to her driver's door but was not pinned. She complained of neck pain, and Von Bruckhauser complained of ankle and leg pain. West Grant EMS transported Olivia Blum to the hospital for treatment of her injuries. Jason Von Bruckhauser will be issued citations for failure to stop at a stop sign and inattentive driving. Backers of former President Donald Trump are launching a second effort to recall Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss from office after the first one appears to have failed. Recall organizers filed paperwork to start a second recall effort on Wednesday, just 2 days after they asked the court to give them more time to rehabilitate their signatures that Voss challenged on the first petition. Ultimately, it's up to the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission to determine whether enough valid signatures are gathered to force a recall election. Voss angered Trump supporters after he declined to impeach the state's top elections officials or decertify President Joe Biden's win in the swing state. Elected officials across Wisconsin are urging Wisconsin Democrats to vote uninstructed on Tuesday. They're protesting President Biden's support of Israel's war in Gaza. Meanwhile, 6-12% of Wisconsin voters may go with one of the third-party or independent candidates for president in November. Political scientist Kathy Kramer speaking with Wisconsin Eye.
There's this sense that the American political system is broken and not listening to ordinary Americans. So there's lots of disenchantment.
The margin between President Biden and Donald Trump is expected to be so narrow in November that an independent or third-party candidate could play spoiler in Wisconsin. That's what political scientist Charles Franklin told Wisconsin Eye.
Those folks are going to likely be late making up their minds, may or may not vote, and so in a very close election,
could turn
a position to tilt the election in the fall.
20 elected officials are urging Democrats to vote uninstructed. As part of Tammy's Dairyland tour, Senator Tammy Baldwin was in Richland Center yesterday for a walk with the mayor. Baldwin walked the downtown and met with several business owners. She hopes to get to know the needs of the community she serves.
It's really meeting people where they are and hearing what's on their mind. Gives me ideas for the work that I do. And wanting to make sure that, you know, I hear both people's challenges and also the opportunities that they're looking at. And it's really exciting to do.
In Richland Center yesterday, she heard about childcare, small business, food, and rural health.
And to the point of showing up, listening, that's exactly what we did before we initiated, the spending, the earmark, if you want to call it that, the congressionally directed spending for the hospital, because we knew there was a need here. And we knew that the community all by itself would really struggle to be able to meet that. So instead, we're doing this in partnership. And, you know, to be able to step up and help at a time when it's really challenging to meet people's health needs in rural areas was really, you know, it's rewarding for me.
From start to finish, Tammy will travel nearly 1,400 miles and visit 19 counties, including Richland, Vernon, La Crosse, Juneau, Sauk, and Columbia. And today is Good Friday to commemorate the death of Jesus. A Good Friday service will be held this afternoon at 1 o'clock at St. John Lutheran Church in Richland Center. Several pastors from the Richland County Ministerial Association will be leading worship. You're invited to hear the story of Jesus' crucifixion and how it leads to hearts broken open. Readings from Jesus' Passion, according to the Gospel of Mark, will be interspersed with reflections and stories from life by local pastors. The worship service will include prayers and song. All are invited to attend this worship service to plant the love of God, hope, and joy in your hearts as we prepare for Easter Sunday.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
Hello, everyone. This is Todd Compernall reminding you that I'm running for re-election as Richland Center's city mayor. In my time as mayor, Richland Center has added new homes, new businesses, and new jobs. We've completed a major street project each year, and we've done all of this while keeping the taxpayers in mind. It's been an honor to represent my hometown as mayor for the last 4 years, and there are exciting things on the horizon. I'm asking for your vote Tuesday, April 2nd. Thanks for listening.
Your holiday weekend forecast, partly sunny and mild today, mid-50s. For tonight, light rain likely 36. Saturday, 53 with cloudy skies in the morning. Breaks of sunshine by the afternoon. Overnight, Saturday night, variably cloudy 33. And then Easter Sunday, cloudy with a 50% chance of light rain, a high of 50. Back to the work weekend, school week on Monday, high of 47, rain by the afternoon. We're at 23 degrees. That is our morning low. Up next, we'll have a look at sports.
Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage. Is 2024 your year to buy a house? I can help you with an FHA loan, a VA loan, a USDA loan, a conventional loan, or a first-time home buyer loan. And if you give me a call and you say you heard my ad on WRCO, I will pay up to $250 towards your appraisal. So give me a call, let your questions be answered, and let's get comfortable, and let's build a relationship, and let me and my team help you buy a house in 2024. 608-604-5068.
WRCO-FM and WRCO.com Radio Sports, sponsored by Mr. G's, downtown Viroqua in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your source for local clothing and boots and shoes and everything in style you need for work and play. That's Mr. G's, downtown Viroqua and Richland Center. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts.
When the look is casual, the name is Mr. G's. When the emphasis is on active wear, the name is Mr. G's. Because Mr. G's Clothing truly is a special clothing store. Now is the best time to update your casual wear for spring and summer with a selection you'll find at Mr. G's. Choose from all the top names, from casual to active wear, and from dress shoes to work boots. The name is Mr. G's. Mr. G's in the Richland Square, in Richland Center, and Viroqua.
Choose Mr. G's.
Good morning with a look at sports, and for Phil Nee, I'm Adam Hess. In high school baseball from yesterday, it was Riverdale over Kenston 15-5. Logan Cagle picked up the win with 7 strikeouts. Riverdale's Chase Chitwood notched the save. Chase also delivered with his bat going 2-for-2 and driving in 2 runs. The leading hitter was the winning pitcher, Logan Cagle, finishing the game 2-for-2 and 4 runs knocked in. The Milwaukee Brewers did not have the opportunity to play. They were rained out yesterday, as well as the Atlanta and Philadelphia game, both postponed due to rain. Milwaukee and the Mets will try to open up their season later today from our sister station at WRCE AM 1450 and FM 107.7. Winners in the National League, Cincinnati over Washington 8-2. The Dodgers stunned St. Louis 7-1. San Diego 6-4 over San Fran. Pittsburgh got by Miami 6-5. Arizona clobbered Colorado 16-1. The Cubbies lost their opening game to Texas in interleague scoring. 4-3 was the final there. American League Finals, Detroit over the Chi Sox 1-0. Baltimore down the Angels 11-3. Minnesota edged Kansas City 4-1. Toronto 8-2 over Tampa. The Yankees 5, Houston 4. Cleveland shut out Oakland 8-0. And Boston 6-4 over Seattle. Well, there's no official announcement, but legendary voice of the Brewers, Bob Uecker, could be dialing it back a little more in the 2024 season. He will be on the air Tuesday when Milwaukee opens the home portion of their season against Minnesota. Uecker's plans after that aren't really known. Team officials say the 90-year-old legend, voice of the Brewers, will simply take it game by game after that. This is his 53rd year in the broadcast booth. He's already limited himself to just home games the last few years. A second-half comeback effort came up a little short in the Bucks' 107-100 loss at New Orleans last night. Now, the Bucks dropped a second straight game despite 35 points and 14 rebounds by the big guy, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Pelicans were up by 16 at half, 18 later in the game. The Bucks, they closed it down to within 5 in the final moments, but they could not draw even. The Bucks will play in Atlanta on Saturday. That game can be heard on our sister station. Atlanta, the only other NBA scoring game last night, was 123-122 in overtime. Atlanta beat Boston. The postseason success for the Wisconsin women's basketball team continues with an 86-61 win over Illinois State. Just over 3,100 fans were at the Kohl Center. Sonia Copeland and Sarah Williams led the Badgers with 18 apiece. Coach Marissa Mosley's team won the game with long-range bombs, hitting 9 of 19 three-pointers, while the Redbirds were just 3 of 18. Wisconsin stays alive and will meet the winner of tonight's game between Purdue, Fort Wayne, and St. Louis. The talent's there, but tight end Josiah DeGara didn't really produce during his time in Green Bay. Now the third-round pick is moving on to Jacksonville. In the 3 years, he started just 10 Packer games, and his playing time was limited and diminishing even more. On to the NCAA men's tournament, Marquette guard Cam Jones says he and his teammates won't change a thing as they take on North Carolina State in the Sweet 16 round of the NCAA tournament. Jones, Tyler Kolick, Osha Igodaro, and coach Shaka Smart spoke to the media Thursday in Dallas and then got some practice time in the American Airlines Center. The Golden Eagles and Wolfpack battle in advance of the game starting at 6 o'clock Central Time tonight. During our 810 Sports Report, we'll have a complete look at National Hockey League, NBA, and Major League Baseball. Bo Hendricks will have that for you this morning at 810. This sports report on WRCO has been brought to you by Mr. G's, the Homesteader Store, right here in Richland Center.
All Cub Cadet mowers are on sale now at the Homesteader Store. Hi, this is Rick. The sale includes industry-leading Cub Cadet Ultima zero-turn mowers with both lap bar and steering wheel units. The sale includes the quality Enduro Series lawn and garden tractors. They are all on sale, so come and save $150 to $500. See the full line of Cub Cadet products at your mower headquarters, the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
Yeah, the write-ins, that's certainly going to be something that we see in many locations come Tuesday.
And you got the new automatic machines, what, a year or two ago. How does that work with write-ins then?
So for those who want to put in a write-in vote, like I said, you would, for the consolidated ballots where all the races are on one piece of paper or card, you would, like I said, fill in the little oval by the write-in line and then write the write-in candidate's name that you want to vote for. And then when you put the ballot into the tabulator, it would recognize that as a vote being cast for that write-in.
So is writing the name correctly important? Or, you know, if like I want to vote for somebody, then I know they're a write-in, but I'm not sure exactly how they spell their name. Does it have to be spelt correctly?
Yeah, you want to really be as close as possible so the poll workers know exactly what your intent is. You know, we certainly don't want to take away anybody's intended vote because of a poor misspelling, or, you know, you get somebody's name wrong, a first name wrong or something like that, or if you put a first initial, fill out that name as complete as you possibly can, and that way you know that that vote will count for the intended purpose that you wanted it to.
Now, is there anything new that voters should be aware of when they go to the polls on Tuesday?
Really, the process is quite similar as to what it always has been. You will come to the polls. You'll have to state your name and address and present your photo ID. And then you will be given the ballot that you need for your prospective municipality, your ward, wherever you live, your school district, that type of thing. In the city of Richland Center, we're actually going to be rolling out some new equipment this year. It's going to look quite a bit different from what people are used to. We have what we call Badger Books, and we're not the first municipality in Southwest Wisconsin to use these, but we are the first in Richland County to have them. They're electronic poll books, and voters can come to the polls. They can check in at any one of the terminals that we have there. It'll have all the data electronically stored on these electronic poll books. The poll worker will ask you again to see your photo ID. You'll have to state your name and address, like I said, and then you would actually sign on the screen digitally your name and then kind of proceed from there. As always, you'll be presented your voter slip that you'll then turn in to get your ballot, and then you'll cast your ballot on the paper ballot just like you always have in the past.
It sounds like basically if they're used to charging something on their credit card and they have to sign, but it sounds basically something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in this digital world now where you go to the store and you have a tablet in front of you where it has your information or where you need to sign, this will be very similar to that. You know, folks might be a little skeptical of it, but it is a closed network that the Badger Books is. It's not connected to the internet at all. It's data that I, as the clerk, am able to load on to the machines prior to the election, immediately after the election. It's data that I can get from the machines, and then I can upload it into the state Wisconsin voter registration system. Then that is how we record the participation for the election. Also, you can register if you're not registered. We can also register you at one of the Badger Books terminals as well.
So when you said you can go to any terminal, that's kind of different too, isn't it, for the city? Didn't you used to have to go to your own district?
Yes. If people have voted in the past, you would walk into the community center gym. You would find your respective ward within the district. The districts were spread out into four different areas. That is going away. We're going to have tables that are set up where you would stand in line, and then you would just go to the next available terminal, and then you would get checked in that way.
Does that mean then you can get by with less workers?
Yeah, that's really one of the advantages that this has. You know, before we had to have two people on a poll book. Now we just have to have one person on each of the Badger Book terminals. We can definitely get by with less poll workers. People might see quite a few poll workers there this election. You know, that's to give them all an opportunity to kind of see how it works, get a chance to use the Badger Books, get a chance to be in the area where the ballots are distributed to the voters. So you might see quite a few poll workers there this time, but that's just a way for us to kind of right size our elections moving forward, and also giving our poll workers the experience in the different areas that we'll be having in the future.
In the past, you were kind of looking for poll workers. Has that kind of subsided now?
Yeah, I think so. I think this will be a big change for us, to where we, before we would ask our poll workers to work all day, which was really a big ask for a lot of them. You know, that's a long day when you think about having to be there prior to the polls opening at 7, staying for the counting after the polls close at 8. You know, I think now we can work shorter shifts, work partial days. So it'll be really nice for our workers moving forward that way. So, yeah, I think we can probably get by with fewer workers and or at the very least shorter shifts for them.
So the biggest change for voters in Richland Center is the Badger Books.
Yeah. When you walk into the gym, you know, have your photo ID ready. If you are going to be registering, have your documents that prove your residency, have those ready. Because when you get in there, you're going to walk up to one of the terminals, and rather than signing that paper poll book or filling out the voter registration form, you can take care of all that right there at the Badger Book terminal.
And as we talked before, you know, with the automated voting machines, usually now we're used to getting our results sooner, but there's so many write-in campaigns going on right now. You know, it might take a while this Tuesday, Lightning.
Yeah, that's one of the tricky things about write-ins. You know, there are a lot of different rules about when to count a write-in vote and when not. So, you know, we've got at least in the city, I know we've got some races that we're going to need to be counting, that there may not be a ballot candidate. There might be a registered write-in that we'll be keeping track of, but, you know, we're really not going to know those things until after this Friday, whether or not there's going to be registered write-ins or not. But it's going to be one of those tricky things to count on election night. But, you know, our poll workers, they're trained, they know what to expect. But it's part of the process to count the votes, make sure that what we are reporting is accurate. And, you know, that takes time sometimes.
Do you have any other advice for voters in Richland Center for next week?
Yeah, I think just not here, but everywhere. You know, when you are going to the polls, again, you're going to be asked your name, your address, and for your photo ID. So, you know, have those ready, have them. Sometimes folks have trouble getting them out of their wallet, their photo ID out of their wallet. I know sometimes mine gets stuck in there sometimes. So, you know, have it ready. If you're going to be registering, bring some documents with you that prove your address. You know, if your driver's license has your current address on that, you know, you can use that as your proof of residency. If you're registering a utility bill, bank statement, a lease, there's just several different options that you can bring to prove your residency. You know, if you have any questions, you can certainly go on the voter website for Wisconsin voters. It's myvote.wi.gov. It's got a lot of great information on there that voters can look up. You know, prior to the election, you can see who's on the ballot, where you vote. So that's just a really great resource. So I guess as people prepare to go to the polls that day, just be ready, read up on the referendum questions that are on the ballot, the statewide referendum questions. I know in the Richland School District, there are the referendum questions. So, you know, just be a prepared voter as you, you know, head to the polls. It'll just make things go a lot smoother. And then, you know, be patient with your poll workers that day. You know, like I said, in the city, we've got our new equipment, so they're going to be learning as they go. But there might be a poll worker who's been working there all day long and they're fatigued and, you know, may not, you know, be quite as spry as they were a couple hours before. You know, be patient with that poll worker as well, because they're really sacrificing to be there and to do their duty as well.
And I think the biggest thing is get out and vote.
That's right. That's why we put all the effort into the election, is so people have the opportunity to make their voice heard at the ballot box.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron, and good luck on Tuesday.
Thanks, Joanne.
Tom Mueller from Mueller Urban is our guest here on WRCO. Tom, you guys ready to service all these mowers? People need a tune-up before they start mowing this year.
You bet, Phil. In fact, it's an incredible array of mowers coming in. We repair everything when it comes to lawnmowers, so it doesn't make any difference what make or model or whatever. We're a one-stop place. We can do it all. On a busy day, we get 12 to 15 units in for service, so it really is quite a fiasco. We have a huge, huge shop and excellent people working here, so it's a great place to come, and there's a lot of reasons to stop and see us. Service is number one for us, of course. But number two, we are the largest lawn and garden dealer in southern Wisconsin, and we have some specials right now. We have Mow the Distance program coming along, and it starts officially on the 27th of March and goes through April 8th. And it's 20% off a list on all Gravely products as far as the heavy-duty version, not the homeowner units. But that includes HDs and above. And what's really nice about that program is it's going to be your best buy in the season. You can literally come in early and speak up for one and then take it later, because this is one of those deals where it's once in a lifetime. You're not going to see it again. So we have 23 prices. That means they're cheaper anyhow, but you're going to save a fortune, and it's never a better time to stop in. But, you know, the other side of it is we also have Husky products, and Husky's got some targeted items right now. They're targeting right now, this very moment, the electric side of the homeowner side. It's got extra discounts ranging from $80 in that range and more. And we also have deals on Husky tractors and et cetera that will hit the April period. And so you're going to have a chance to save a lot of money at Mueller Equipment. And the key is you got to get here, though, Phil. And for most people that haven't been to Dodgeville, Wisconsin, we're at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing. And, of course, those little guys, Farm and Fleet, they just got done remodeling, or they're still working on it. But I think they're going to stay in business. So we look forward to seeing them. Come down and visit them as well. We're open from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to noon on Saturday. The 1st of April, we had a half an hour on both ends of the day, so it'll be a longer day for everybody. Go to www.MuellerRental.com. That's our internet site. It's literally well done, and you can see all the specials there. Go to Craigslist, and on the left-hand side, punch in Mueller, and you'll see our specials. But better yet, give us a holler at 935-2751. And Phil, coming in person really makes a big difference. You get to see who we are, what we do, and what we can do for you.
That's right. Do you still have that Stealth mower there?
We do, and we actually have an extra special on that. Not only does it qualify for the 20% off, But we're additionally adding another $250 on it. And by the way, we have Aaron's Lawnmowers. We have a 5% cash discount on all of our Aaron's. Aaron's runs a little less money. It's not quite as plush or as nice as our other units, but it's very operable and very, very well built. So if you're trying to save some money and don't want to spend quite as much money on a Gravely, we have a great deal on Aaron's as well. So yes, the Stealth will be there. We got a lot of them on hand. We went out and got some more. It's a black unit with all kinds of extras on it, and it isn't much more than the standard unit.
Yeah, the ladies of Sextonville would think I was pretty special if I had that, I bet.
You know, I bet they would, but I don't know what your wife would think.
Yeah, I don't know either. Huh. Well, we'll work on that, and you work on your end, and we'll talk to you real soon, Tom.
Thank you, Phil.
Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement in Dodgeville on this report from WRCO.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD,